Good morning. The prophet Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 12. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. You have appointed them for judgment. O rock, you have marked them for correction. Perhaps Habakkuk was toiling down a dusty road, downcast. Occasionally pausing, glancing up with a deep, ugh. Why? Why was he so distraught? Well, why was the very question that he was asking. Why, God? Why? It's been called the eternal cry of man. Why, God? Why don't you do something to prevent the atrocities and the evil in the world? Why do you allow families to break up and children to be abandoned? Why do you allow the poor to be downtrodden and the weak to be abused? Why don't you lead the people that say they're Christians to change their lives so they're living according to your will? Habakkuk had been praying for a revival in Christians following God's word. He'd been yearning and praying more, and nothing seemed to change. In verse 2 of this first chapter, he concludes, God's not listening to me. We've probably had similar thoughts, haven't we? Why, God, when these people call themselves Christians, do they still have so much contention, dishonesty? Lord, my parents say they love me. Why don't you show them that they can trust me to make my own decisions? And why don't you lead my friends to have more respect for my feelings? Maybe we think that God isn't listening to our prayers either. Well, down through the ages, God has indeed answered people in many different ways, in many different places. Finally and fully, when He spoke in His Son, sending Him into this world to die for our sins and to bring us His Word finalized. So that in turning to that word, every one of us can find the answers that God wants us to have today. And one of those answers is indeed provided by the answer that God did speak to Habakkuk on that day. He said to him, verse 5, look among the nations, watch, be utterly astonished, for I will work a work in your day you would not believe if you were told. What was he talking about? He goes on to explain that the Chaldeans were going to overrun Judah. Astounding? In two ways. First of all, at the time, the Assyrians were in absolute tyrannical control of the known world. But God foretells that it's the Chaldeans that will do this. Historians today of that time still marvel that Nineveh and the great Assyrian Empire could fall so suddenly and the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, surge into their place. But there was a second aspect that was even more astounding. It hit Habakkuk like a brick in the face. How can you do that, God? They were going to overrun Judah. It seemed to Habakkuk like instead of solving the problem, it was making it twice as bad. Instead of listening to the good solution that Habakkuk had been proposing, God, it appeared, was making himself a partner in evil. And Habakkuk grieved. What's going to happen to us, Lord? And Lord What will then happen to your promise of salvation? So how are we to deal with such problems when they hit us like a brick in the face? Like Habakkuk, we often may feel overwhelmed. But like Habakkuk, there is a path for us. For what did he end up doing by God's grace? Our text shows us, "Are you not from everlasting, my Holy One?" He turns back to the Lord. He shows us, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, how we also should thus stop and think in terms of faith. For let's face it, too often we're like that young frog in Aesop's fable, and we don't look before we leap. So easily we feel about those situations like, "I don't deserve this." Stop and think in terms of faith. What do I deserve? Ezekiel 18, "The soul that sins shall die." Any moment that we have in this world where we are not suffering the eternal fiery anguish of hell is a gift of mercy, that we might repent and live with the Lord. And so what pride it is when we get frustrated with God because somebody else is not more instantly perfect than we have ever been. What hypocrisy it is to attack God because other people are failing to listen to Him and live according to His will. And what presumption it is for me to think that God's ways have to be immediately transparent to my great wisdom, or it must not be right. Idolatrous treason, putting myself over God. And yet, what does the Lord tell us? "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways." And what self-righteousness it is to measure other people by what I think my level of sanctification is. And when Satan whispers in our ears, above all, how foolish it is for us to think, you know, if all these problems are happening, Jesus must not love me. Or Jesus must not be strong enough to help. We've been called to live by faith. And faith knows from God's Word that Jesus loves you and me so much that He stretched out His arms to die for you. That Jesus is so strong to save that He broke open the gates of death and hell and will lift you out of them. Faith does not stand on the sinking sand of me and my feelings. It stands on Christ. Jesus went to the cross to die for you so that He might say to you, "My blood cleanses you of all your sins." And so, as our problems lurch before us, we're reminded by Habakkuk to stop and think in terms of faith. O Lord, You are eternal. You are holy. Therefore, You have no part in evil. And You have a good purpose in everything that You allow, whether I see it or not. It's because our Lord is eternal and holy that we can join the Apostle Paul thus in that triumphant declaration. We know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And that purpose is to save. A purpose that assures us that we can have that confidence even concerning this life. For that chapter goes on, if He did not spare His own Son, surely He will give us every good thing. The forgiveness of your sins has been effected and established in Christ's cross. So stop and think in terms of faith. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Hymn 528, stanzas 2 and 15. 528, 2 and 15.